Welcome to the Fast 15 podcast, offering game-changing tips, advice, and motivational tools for special educators designed to transform your special education classroom in a quick 15-minute format. Our podcast includes authentic stories from amazing educators like you and is proudly sponsored by the publishers of the Functional Academics Program, Specially Designed Education Services. Join us as we endeavor to transform the landscape of special education. In this episode, we're welcoming Deborah Schlomer-Fraser. Deborah has a doctorate in special education curriculum and instruction from Liberty University. She is a high school special education teacher serving a classroom of students who are profoundly impacted by their disabilities within a high-need school. She enjoys finding creative ways to help students be independent, and she has such great insight on how to prioritize the importance of teaming and gaining critical perspectives from paraeducators in the classroom. Join me in welcoming her to the Fast 15. Hi, Deborah.
Hi.
This is Deborah Fraser, and she is one of our incredible trainers with SDES, and we're just really privileged to have you actually in the studio today and getting a chance to hear from you. I got a chance to be with you all day today for a conversation and some previews of some of the amazing work that Suzanne Fitzgerald's working on.
Yes.
With Functional Academics, and that sneak peek was really fun.
Yes.
I really loved it. And if you haven't checked out Functional Academics, you can go to sdesworks.com and get some idea of what that whole really comprehensive curriculum is all about. And there are teachers out across the country and really across the world who are using the program and really making a difference in the lives of young adults with disabilities, all the way from elementary to secondary. And Deborah, you're one of the trainers that gets to spend time with teachers, helping them know how to use the program themselves and getting them introduced to it, but then also coaching them along in the program.
Yes, it's great.
It's awesome. How long have you been doing that training, that position, being a trainer with SDES?
I just started in June of last year.
Okay. And you've had experience with it in your own classrooms.
Yeah, I've been using Functional Academics for quite a few years now.
Okay. And when you first started, I think that's really what I want to know from your perspective. When you first started with it, for me, it seemed really overwhelming.
It did at first, but I had a fellow teacher friend who I really trusted, and she was so invested in it and really trusted it. So I was like, okay, let's give it a shot.
So she trained you and introduced you to it.
She did.
And then you picked it up and ran with it. Was it a slow build or was it?
It was.
Okay.
Yeah. But once I got going with it, I really saw how amazing it is for our students and how functional it is.
Okay. And how does that play out practically for a teacher? Can you describe what that looks like or feels like?
Yeah, it's an opportunity for students to really buy into it because they can see the functionality of it. And so them buying into it, you watch them grow because they feel that it's functional to themselves.
And one of the things that I noticed from some of the things that you've written is that you like to have them see their own data.
Yes.
And how their progress is being monitored across the program.
Yeah. And students can see that they are making growth themselves. They get excited and they buy into it more and they're more willing to jump.
Speaking of new things, I know you mentioned that you are on your own journey of going through becoming an administrator in the future is the hope. But you got your doctorate last June. You graduated, got your doctorate, and you're absolutely committed to this field. That's obvious. How's that going, that whole process of getting your doctorate and deciding to go into?
It's definitely opened up more opportunities than I knew were possible. I've gotten to see special education from new lenses, new leadership opportunities, seeing the background to why we do things the way we do them.
Right. And following along in other people in their footsteps and getting to mentor under other directors
I know you mentioned a few things about that. Can you highlight just what that vision or what that view is from that perspective?
Yeah, I always knew that the special education administrators do more than we know what they do, but it's been really interesting and unique to see their perspectives, being in meetings next to them and them guiding me and explaining why things are the way they are and how they get to make new opportunities for students in ways that the teachers don't even hear about, but it truly makes a difference.
I'm really interested in the research to practice, the gap that's often there. And I know when you go and get your doctorate and you get into the research and then you're in the field with teachers and how things actually play out, what's your perspective on that gap between research and what higher ed is doing in clinical research, and then how that comes down to practice? I know often it's hard for teachers to stay on top of what's the current research out there, unless you're going to conferences and really seeing what's being newly researched and discovered. What do you see about that gap?
There does seem to be a gap. A lot of teachers don't have access to the research or the time to go and look into it and then apply it. Sometimes you hear the great research and then you go back to the classroom and there's so much going on, you have to figure out how you're going to implement it.
You're just trying to get through day to day.
Yeah.
And being aware of the research, I think that's one of the things that I'd like to deliver even on our podcast, is to be able to get some current research and then just talk about it and have a dialogue back and forth with people who are doing that. So let's try and close that gap a little bit more in small ways, and hopefully in bigger ways that make more of an impact. Yeah. So what are you seeing as far as what teachers are doing with paraeducators? This is one of the things I know you've spent a lot of time diving into, that relationship, the teacher and paraeducator relationship. I wanted to pinpoint some of those ideas that you have as far as getting them the support that they need, helping them understand from a teacher to a paraeducator perspective. How do you best support paraeducators so they feel a part of the classroom community, a part of really their contribution? Because a lot of times our paraeducators spend more time with our students than we get a chance to, maybe out in general ed situations or out in the community. What is your view of paraeducators and the relationship between a teacher to a para?
Paraeducators are so important. They're what keeps our programs together. And they're there because they care about the kids. And so I think just having that teacher-paraeducator communication,
yes,
is what's going to keep programs going strong and the relationships, but also reminding them of how appreciative you are as a teacher, saying thank you all the time, I appreciate you. It's going to really make a difference in that para-teacher relationship, and then that's going to trickle down into the student programs.
Absolutely. I have always wanted my paraeducators to feel like they're coming into a space that they own, that they feel like they're at home in the classroom where they're serving students. And having weekly meetings where you really hear from the paras, getting their perspective, asking for feedback for any program changes that need to be made or adjustments, that type of thing. So what are some routines that you've done with paras?
Yeah, I would say having those regular meetings. And when I get busy, I send out surveys to them.
Okay.
Asking, how are things going? Do you need anything? Does something need to be changed? And then I even offer it to be anonymous in case they're not real comfortable bringing it up yet.
I like that a lot. That's one thing that I've always wanted as well. When I know that we're always so busy, and there's always so many things coming at us from whatever direction it can be from day to day. You can't predict what's going to happen. But I always want my paras to feel like they're being heard. And so I said, hey, if I can't give you attention at the time that you need it, color coding a sticky note. If it's really important, put it on, you know, a red sticky note, a note to me, so I can drop whatever I'm doing and get to that problem. And if it's, hey, need to talk about this relatively soon, yellow or white. if it's just, hey, just something to remember later. And that's one strategy that I've used. But I'm always just so interested about how other people are managing that connection and that open communication and making sure that you could have seven paras in the classroom.
Yeah. You know? And I haven't had that many before.
Have
and
you?
More.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And to make sure that everybody's taken care of.
Yeah.
That's very challenging when you're trying to meet the needs of all your students at the same time. We do have with SDESworks.com, you can find some resources for supporting para educators, a manual that would help that. We'll link to that in the show notes and make sure that people can get that resource. Is there anything else that you could share with listeners about para educators or really about just encouraging teachers out there for functional academics and data collection and all those things? Anything that comes to mind that you want to share?
A lot of new special education teachers aren't trained to manage paras. They're trained to teach students. So just remembering to value that relationship and create an outline for each other of what you need, what you expect for each other is really important.
And noticing the strengths that everybody brings to the team.
Yeah.
And you can, when you identify those strengths, you can start to fit people into different areas.
And support each other.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we want to encourage everybody to be doing that for sure. And I wanted to tell you, thank you so much for being willing to be on our podcast today and the work that you're doing to support teachers out there. And anybody who's listening who needs more support as far as teaching functional academics really well in your classroom, we have amazing continual professional development and trainers connected to functional academics and the specially designed education services, and want to make sure that everybody has access to that. You're welcome to ask and call. Nope, probably don't call, but email.
Email's great.
Email is the best way to communicate those concerns or those needs that are out there, but also things are going well. We want to hear that for sure. And thank you for the support that you do for teachers.
Thank you.
Great to have you today. Well, friends, our time is almost up for this episode of the Fast 15, but real quick, let's recap some of the key takeaways from our time together with Deborah Frazier. Number one, be sure to embrace personal growth and your own continued learning. Deborah is a true leader in the field of special education. She's evolved from a dedicated teacher to a doctoral student and trainer. And her journey really showcases the power of continuous growth. In the often difficult field of special education, where many teachers sadly burn out, educators like Deborah embody the motivation and the transformation that can come with embracing new roles and pursuing ongoing learning opportunities. And number two, make sure to keep your finger on the pulse of current research. Our conversation with Deborah shines a light on the gap between research and practice in special education. Deborah's dedication to pursuing latest research really demonstrates the impact practically in the classroom. It can really be such a game changer. Accessible research insights are like fuel for an educator. It can really be effective in empowering the implementation of the ever-evolving methodologies in the classroom. And number three, this is really important, cultivate strong teacher-para-educator partnerships. Deborah emphasizes the pivotal role of open communication and collaboration in teacher-para-educator relationships. Think about having regular meetings, feedback loops, and recognizing each team member's strengths. These elements will craft for you a positive and collaborative learning environment, and acknowledging and harnessing your paraeducator's strengths really can be the secret sauce to success in a special education program. Well, thanks so much for hanging out with us on the Fast 15. Be sure to stick around for more real-world connections and insights into the world of special education. Our journey together is really exciting for me, and I hope it is for you as well. And it really is just getting started. We'll talk to you soon. Take care and have a great day. A heartfelt thank you to our generous sponsors, Specially Designed Education Services, publishers of the Functional Academics Program. Please take a moment to learn more about the only true comprehensive functional academics program that enables students with moderate to severe disabilities to improve their ability to live independently and show meaningful growth both academically and personally, while creating accountability with data-driven, evidence-based results. Visit sdesworks.com to learn more.